We're looking today, as we close this message, on surprising ways God builds His kingdom. And the last way is through staying true in our joy, our love, and our motives. I want to just dive in with one verse from John 8:31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word," that is, if you stay true in My word, "you are truly My disciples." Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, as we come into Your presence, and as we find one more surprising way, and I'm sure there are literally hundreds of other ways that You build Your kingdom, speak to us about staying true in our joy, our love, and our motives. Lord, we are honored by the presence of Jesus here, by Your Spirit. We are honored by the presence of each person. We are honored, Lord, that You honor Your word. Now honor it as we close out this series of messages on surprising ways You build Your kingdom. Bring us to the table, Lord, of the Lord, with joy, with love, and with pure motives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Haven't we been sweetly fed in these last days as God has ministered to us, our souls and our spirits, through Carl Moeller? I magnify the name of Jesus for directing me in Whittier, California, to call you, Carl. And I magnify the name of Jesus because you were willing to obey the voice of God and you came to speak to us. I want you to understand from Scripture that it is very, very clear from John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." Thanks for following the voice of the Lord. And it says in John 10:5, "A stranger they will not follow, but they'll flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Never object to the intense sensitiveness of the Holy Spirit in us as He's speaking to our hearts. Our hearts must ever be Christ's home. The Holy Spirit is educating us day by day, down to the very last scruple of our lives. He continues to stamp us as His saints as we daily waive our rights to obey our own will and to obey His will. Not my will, but Thine be done. Now, the theme of our conference has been surprising ways God builds the kingdom. We have heard how God builds us from the inside out, not the outside in. And we have listened intently to stories from North Korea and Iraq and Chiapas and Orissa in India, from the house church movement in China and Pastor Barnabas there, reminding us that God builds His kingdom through the privilege of persecution. And then we've been awakened to how God builds His kingdom through tiny, tiny mustard seed faith. Today I want us to stay true to our theme and find out how God wants us also to stay true to Him, true in our joy, our love, and our motives. Monday morning, the Lord awakened me about 4 a.m. and impressed on my spirit the title for this message and the substance of the message, and He showed me this thing in my heart. I just thrilled as He was showing me its joy, its love, and its motives. He commended me in my spirit because we as a district, I believe, have held tight to ancient boundaries set years ago by our Free Church forefathers. Proverbs 22:28 is so clear. "Don't move the ancient landmark that your fathers have set." But I want you to know, as we come to the Lord's table, the Lord said to me, "It's not enough to be true in your doctrine. You must be true in your joy. Stay true in your joy. Stay true in your love. Stay true in your motives." And that's what I want to share with before Pastor Larry and I together, he shares the bread and I share the cup with you. Number one, are we staying true to God in our joy? The first of three texts I want us to look at is Nehemiah 8, if you'll turn there. Nehemiah 8, 9 through 12. God's people had done hard time. They had survived a hard time of exile and discipline by the Lord for 70 long years. And they were now back from exile, restored to their home in Judea, in Jerusalem. And though they only had a little strength, they obeyed the Lord and His servant Nehemiah, the governor, and they finally completed a protective wall all the way around their capital city of Jerusalem. It happened as the nation of Israel was just kind of catching its breath after they had finished the wall that they gathered together at one of the gates. Kind of an interesting gate for America. They got together at the water gate. And they heard Ezra the priest read from the law of Moses something that had fallen by the wayside for many decades. Their statement of faith, as it were, the law, had not been looked at. It had not been found. And they found it. And as Ezra read, there were people out in the congregation, as there were so many people there, they stood there and they would explain, almost like a signer. They explained to the people as they stood there from early morning to midday, they explained what the law of the Lord said, and the people were sobbing. They were crying. They realized they weren't living up to their doctrine. They weren't living up to their statement of faith. Now hear this text. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to the Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be quiet. Stop your sobbing. Stop your sobbing. It's one thing to know what's wrong. It's one thing to repent. But don't keep it up. Get over it. Start living by the law of the Lord and let the joy return." And all the people, when they heard that, "Don't be grieved," all the people went their way. They ate and drank and sent portions. And they made great rejoicing because they had understood the words that were declared to them. Beloved, staying true to the Word of God and to our doctrine must never eclipse our joy. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice." You can be right, even dead right, and not be happy in Jesus, not rejoicing in your soul. Dead orthodoxy is like a grasshopper sticking to a radiator. You can stick together, but you're dead. We don't want to be dead grasshoppers. We want to be those alive with joy in our souls. Philip Yancey, in a book he wrote entitled Disappointment with God, on page 157, wrote these few words about a lady by the name of Peggy. He said, "Before she went into the hospital for the last time, Peggy came home all excited about a quotation from William Barclay that her minister had used. She was so taken with it that she had copied it down on a 3x5 card. And she gave it to Philip Yancey, and this is what it says. Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory." I'll say it again. Endurance is not just the ability to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. She said her minister had said that the previous week, and that he had had a hard week. And after he read that, she said he banged the pulpit and he turned his back on all the people and just cried a while. We've been through some difficult things in the Intermountain West District in the last 3 years. God wants us, by the power of Jesus' name, by the power of the Spirit of God, to turn the hard things into our glory and into our joy. We're a tiny fellowship of churches, just so you know how tiny we are. The Evangelical Fellowship of Free Churches only has 8 churches at the moment in America and two brand new churches planted in South Central Mexico. That's 10 churches that belong to the Evangelical Fellowship of Free Churches, 8 in the Intermountain West District. Those last two are in Los Rodriguez, a city of 7,000, and most everybody that lives in Los Rodriguez has a name of Rodriguez. It's true. It's true. And Silao, about 100,000. But God has reminded me that small as we are, as of April 2010, the Evangelical Fellowship of Free Churches did not even exist. It wasn't even anything. It didn't exist. God wants us to turn our hearts away from any suggestions of the enemy that ministry in the IWD is too hard. I want you to know if you think it's too hard, you've lost your joy. God wants to turn it around. He wants to turn it into our glory. He wants us to be able to say in the Intermountain West District, in the Evangelical Fellowship of Free Churches, thank God, this is our story, and we rejoice. Nehemiah's city wall construction team had many team players. If any one of those members had tried to build that city wall by himself, they would have never had a wall around the city. But they had many workers. Building the capital city wall is a daunting project. They had to work together. They had to be enjoying one another as they worked. They had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. And Nehemiah, bless his heart, though he was the governor, was with them in not changing his clothes. He lived in their quarters. And he stayed with the job until they got it done. He stayed in the quarters. He ate the same food. He wore the same clothes. He looked as dirty as the rest of them. And everybody chipped in. And the joy of the Lord was more and more evident until in 52 days, less than 2 months, the wall was completed. Now, beloved, if we allow hard work that we do to get us down, we're like those dead grasshoppers. We've got to, by the grace of God, we've got to be willing to say, we can do this and we can do it as a team. We can do it together, the joy of the Lord being our strength. And Paul reminds us in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It was February 5th of 2013. I was walking down a street in Los Rodriguez. I had as my interpreter Pastor Zaccheo's brother, Arturo, Pastor Arturo. We walked the street together. The Lord had awakened me on January 31st and told me, you got to walk this one particular street. We never drove on it, but I saw it. It was out behind Nellie's home. And the Lord says, you got to walk that street. I didn't know why, but I found out on the 5th of February as we walked that street. And of the 103 people that came to the Lord in 12 days, 27 of them came to the Lord in 3 or 3.5 hours as we walked that street. We came back rejoicing. And if you'll throw some slides on here, I just want you to know who some of your brothers and sisters are. That's Pastor Zaccheo, and that's his mommy. She knows the Lord. You know, it's an interesting thing that Pastor Zaccheo's daddy was killed. He was killed. The cartels, the people over there, someone, a man right there in town with the same last name of Rodriguez, shot him and killed him. Next picture. Here we are ordaining the first man to be ordained by the Evangelical Fellowship of Free Churches. There's Pastor Arturo, who is my interpreter. And there is Pastor Martin. Both of these men, we welcome at the Mount of Olives Church. And here we have the Los Rodriguez Church. And myself, Pastor Zaccheo, and his son also our associate. And that, of course, is Pastor Arturo's wife, Nancy. Next. And here we're in the Los Rodriguez Church, a part of it, not the outside bigger church that has no roof over it. And there's Pastor Jesus Delgado that built a beautiful baptistry just before we got there. Next picture. And here we are dedicating babies. One of the joys was dedicating babies, and Pastor Sowell was my interpreter. Next picture. And here we are baptizing one of 19 people. We baptized 12. Lupe was the first. And as we baptized her and completed with 12, I went and put dry clothes on, and then all of a sudden a revival broke out. People started coming to faith in Christ, and as they did, they'd get saved and come and be baptized until we had 18. Pastor Zacchaeus said, let's close the service. So we closed the service as he is praying. Another lady comes forward, and she has received the Lord, and she wanted to be baptized, so we baptized 19. Next picture. This is your brothers and sisters in the Evangelical Fellowship of Free Churches, Pastor Martin. And there's Pastor Saul. There is Pastor Zacchaeo. And my dear, dear, dear friend, Ausencio Duran, a man of God. He's gone through some difficult things medically. Pray for this man. Pray that God will raise him up after a TIA or a stroke. Next picture. This is a little town of Belen, and this is their church. No lights, hardly any chairs. Pray for the church in Belen. Pastor Martin is the pastor there. Next picture. And here is a 98-year-old lady, if you can believe it, Rodriguez, 98 years old. And I just thank God that He brings us to His arms no matter how old or young we are. Last picture, I think it is. No, oh, got to tell you, this man, Juan, is a drinking buddy of Pastor Zacchaeo. And after Pastor Zacchaeo came to the Lord, he's witnessed to this man countless times. We came over there, I witnessed to him, he turned it down. He wanted to feed us, he fed us twice. On the second time he fed us, that night, I asked him one more time, Juan Elias, would you be willing to ask Jesus Christ into your heart? He said, yes, I would. And he and his wife and the lady from Monterey came to faith in Jesus Christ. There's a drinking buddy that's now drinking from the fountain that never runs dry. Next picture. And this little girl, her daddy was killed by the cartels. And she came and sat in my arms before we left, as she would not leave my side. She just sat there. I love this little girl. Thank God for your prayers. These are your brothers and sisters. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Just know we're a part of something bigger than we are even in the Intermountain West District. Thank you for showing those slides. You know, God spoke to my heart back in October. I was down feeding the fire. We have a fireplace insert, and I was putting logs in, and the Lord said to me in my spirit, He said, Preacher, He said, are you, this wasn't audible, so don't get any funny ideas. If you hear it that way, man alive, even tape it for me. I want to hear it. But He spoke to me in my spirit, and He said to me, Preacher, are you willing to see the Intermountain West District grow overseas, or must it just be in the United States? And my response was laughter. I laughed. I told the Lord, however you wish to grow it, here or overseas, I don't care. Beloved, it's surprising how God grows the kingdom, isn't it? Our first two church plants are not in America. Paradoxically, as you said, Carl, it's not where we thought we were going to plant them, or overseas. Bless His holy name. Secondly, are we not only staying true in our joy, are we staying true to God in our love? Our love. The second text you know so well, Revelation 2, 1 to 7. But though the words are familiar, hear it again and hear it afresh in your heart. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. You've been true to your statement of faith. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I'll grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Beloved, having our doctrine right and staying true to God is what He wants, but it's not all He wants. He wants our joy, but that's not all He wants. He wants our love, our first love. He wants what we once gave Him when we first passionately came to Him. Jeremiah 2:2, we hear the word of the Lord through the weeping prophet after Judah's apostasy. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem saying, thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the wilderness through a land not sown. It happened in Jeremiah's day. It happened in the early church. It happened in Jesus' day. It's happened in our day. Jesus said in the last days, Matthew 24:12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. When I was in Nigeria last November for 15 days, we saw 261 folk come to faith in Christ. We had the joy of preaching to a large group of 3,000 to 5,000 over and over, day after day. Here are thousands of people. You wouldn't be able to understand them. You wouldn't want to do this, I don't think, for your vacation. You get 1 week of vacation a year. So what do you want to do? You want to go to a primitive camp with your wife and children. You want to stay in separate quarters, primitive quarters for the men, primitive quarters for the women. How many of you are ready to give up a week, your only week of vacation, and you're going to go to Camp Bethlehem, and there you're going to hear preaching nonstop, some of the messages lasting 2 hours and 12 minutes. I thought that was a record until it went 3 hours and 35 minutes, and those weren't my messages. That was another preacher. How many of you would choose a week of your vacation to say, I am so in love with Jesus, I want to get together with 100 other churches and their pastors and just be together and have a little foretaste of heaven? That's called first love. I want to tell you, it would be better for you to deny Jesus and say you even love Him than to feign your love when it's obvious in your heart if you're not passionate for Him. If you've become less and less faithful in church, I've seen this. I've seen this as a pastor. Ever since 1967, I have watched it in lives where people become less and less faithful in church. They read their Bible less and less. They pray less and less. And believe it or not, people God called that were honeybees for the Lord become stinging bees. And you know what they do when they become stinging? They begin to speak negatively about their own spouse, about their own church, or the future of their own district. It happens. And I'm saying to you, I'm charging you in the name of Jesus, may we return to our first love. May we have pure joy. Return to our first love. And last of all, before we come to the table of the Lord, I ask you, are you staying true to God in your motives? Our last text is 1 Corinthians 4, 1-5. You know this one. I love this passage. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the motives and purposes of the heart. And each one will receive his commendation from God. So often our motives are self-serving, which means we get by with whatever we can until we're forced to change. I pray that doesn't happen in the Intermountain West District, that we'll get by with whatever little we can. I heard of a busy dental office where one patient was always late. Once the secretary called this man just to confirm his appointment because he always came so late. And he says, oh yes, I'll be there. I'll be about 15 minutes late. That won't be a problem, will it? No, the lady told him, we just won't have time to give you an anesthetic. He arrived early. Beloved, we need to give up our self-serving motives. What must God do to purify our motives so we can be willing and ready and able to grow? I have seen a strange thing under the sun. I know of couples who don't want children, but God grants them children anyway. Don't understand that. And I know of people who long for children and beg and plead with God for children, and they're still barren, praying and pleading and begging God for children. When I was in India, in Nagpur, 2002, I was training students, about 30 students, 15 fellas and 15 ladies. And I had given them an assignment that while I was gone to Nainital in the Himalayas, that they should go out and witness, and I would come back and they would report to me what happened. And as I reported, we clocked 60 people that these 30 had led to Christ in 7 days. And it was a wonderful thing. And as I watched all the joy in the group, I saw a little young lady there, and she was just sobbing in the front row. Oh, I'd love to bring her to the U.S. First of all, just because I love her, I'd like to fix her teeth. She's a beautiful girl, but her teeth stick straight out. They just are buck. They stick straight out. And she's weeping. And I watched as she sobbed, and I said, tell us about what you've done. She probably had witnessed as much individually as all the others had collectively, witnessed all over, and not one person had received Jesus. And she was crying because she wants them to receive Jesus, and they hadn't. And as she was sobbing, I was moved to tears, and I cried, and I asked her to come up. And she stood there. I put my arm around her, and I told the class, I want you to know that this is the one I want you to model after in the future in your witnessing, is this young lady. Because I promise you, and I told her this, I promise you, the Scripture tells me you will reap if you do not faint. I told her Psalm 126:5. I told her those who sow in tears will reap in joy. As I come to the end of this message, I'm going to close with a very intimate story. The man I want to talk to is a drummer. He's out taking care of the kids. He's given me permission to tell this story. You've met him, I know. He was one of our drummers, and he's drummed the most on this conference. We also had Owen Brazington up here as well. I was your superintendent since January 26, 1996. It was on September 27, 1997 that I was on an IWD trip, and I was on my way to Jerome, of all places, or Grandview, of all places, and Boise, of all places, because when I go out that way, I try to take in those churches. And I had stopped to eat in Soda Springs. I think you were with me, Pastor Larry, as I recall. But I know one thing, I got a call. I got a call that my daughter Heather back here, that Heather and Pastor Kevin were right at that moment when there was a baby that was going to be born. And the doctors told them because of the sonogram and the things they saw, the baby was going to have severe renal failure. If the child lived at all, there might have to be a kidney transplant, or the child might not live. There were one kidney was supposed to be larger than the other, and looks like tumors, and it just sounded terrible. And I remember just walking outside the cafe and just lifting my hands to heaven, and I called Jenny, and I said, Jenny, listen, our family, we got to pray together. We got to pray. This child God wants for His glory. He wants him for his glory. That's the purpose. He wants this child for his glory. And we all prayed together. And then yesterday, I just happened to have out that old journal from 1997. And I opened it up and there it was. God wanted me to see it. He wanted me to share it with you. I didn't have much down for that day. We had been praying with right motives. I got permission from the drummer. He said, "You can read what you have in your journal." And with these words, I close. Sunday, week begins. 9:28:97, 2:36 a.m. Andrew Gustav Nieland, welcome to our family. 6 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 and a half inches long. Just got the message. A few tears. Andrew has urinated 3 times. All is okay. His kidneys are working fine. And the last thing I wrote is, when Jesus fixes his gaze on you, do what he says. Beloved, I want us to stay true in our joy and our love and our motives, because God has fixed his gaze on the Intermountain West District, on the Evangelical Fellowship of Free Churches. This is a pivotal conference. Let's do whatever he says. Would you bow your heads? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, in just a moment, we are going to come forward and share in this wonderful time of taking the Lord's Supper. And as we do, maybe God has been trying to say something to you and you need just a chance to respond. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. All I'm going to ask you to do is, if there's something special you need to just let God have, it may be that he wants to work in you from the inside out. Or maybe he wants you to be willing to let him work through persecution. It may be that he wants you to say, "Okay, tiny is okay if I'm doing your will." Maybe it's your joy that's been lost. Maybe it's your love that's grown cold. Maybe you've had proud and wrong motives. And God's saying to you, "I want you to make it right right now." I'm going to ask you just to stand quietly before we come to the table of the Lord. Just examine yourself. And if he's talking to you, just stand. We'll have a prayer. And then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Praise the Lord. Just stand if God's talking to you. Praise God. Lord, as these are standing and some starting to stand, we just want to say to you, thank you for speaking to our hearts through Brother Carl. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us your word. Thank you, Lord, that you knew what we needed. And I'm standing. You gave us, according to the need, what we needed for our souls. Now, we covenant before you that we want to never forget how you grow your kingdom from the inside out, not the outside in, through the privilege of persecution, through tiny mustard seed faith, staying true not only in our doctrine, but in our joy, in our first love, and in right, pure, humble motives. Now, Father, as Pastor Larry comes to my right, to everyone else's left, and as he takes the bread and as I take the cup, we ask that you bless the elements, the bread, the symbol of your broken body, the cup, the symbol of your shed blood. And Lord, we're going to ask people just to come in families or families of families. If somebody's coming alone, just kind of glob together with them in a family. And we're going to share the bread and the cup. And then we'll go upstairs. Pastor Larry will have a final word. And we'll go upstairs and have wonderful baked potatoes and everything that goes on them. But right now, we're focusing on the table of the Lord. And we're asking you, Holy Spirit, pour out yourself afresh right now as we take the cup, as we take the bread. Don't let us walk away without the hand of God falling on us afresh. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on the Intermountain West District. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.